Ernesto's signature. That is why, according to Fuchs's essay on the Tang period, the complete anonymity of these burial gifts means that one cannot even in a single case know the name of the individual creator. This is an important proof for the fact that in all of this it is never the question of individual artistic results, but rather of the way the totality then looked upon the world and things. Footnote 60, text. Fuchs was one of the first to develop the specific character of mass art and thus to germinate the impulses which he had received from historical materialism. Any study of mass art leads necessarily to the questions of the technological reproduction of the work of art. Every time has very specific techniques of reproductions which corresponds to it. The techniques of reproductions always represent the respective standard of technological development and are the result of a specific need of the time. For this reason, it is not astonishing that any historical upheaval which brings into power other classes than the ruling one regularly goes hand in hand with changes in the technique of pictorial reproductions. This fact needs to be pointed out with particular emphasis. Footnote 61, text. Insights like this proved Fuchs a pioneer. In these insights, he points to objects which would represent an educational gain for historical materialism were it to study them. The technological standard of the arts is one of the most important of these insights. The continued examination of these standards makes up for many a harm which comes from the vague concept of culture in the traditional history of ideas and occasionally even in Fuchs's own work. Page 252. The fact that thousands of simple potters were capable of creating products equally daring both in regard to their technique and to their artistry as if it were nothing. Footnote 62. Text. Rightly appears to Fuchs as the concrete verification of all Chinese art. Occasionally, this technological reflection leads him to eliminate apercus, which runs ahead of its own time. There is no other way of judging his explanation of the fact that antiquity does not know any character. Which idealistic representation of history would not see in this a support for the classicist image of the Greeks and their noble simplicity and quiet greatness? And how does Fuchs explain the matter? Character, he says, is mass art. There cannot be any character without mass distribution of its products. Mass distribution means cheap distribution. However, except for the mining of coins, antiquity has no cheap means of reproduction. Footnote 63, text. The surface of the coin is too small to make room for a character. This is why antiquity did not know character. Like character, the genre picture was mass art. This trait attached itself to the character of caricature and defamed the already doubtful conventional historiography still more. Fuchs sees the matter differently. The fact that he considers scorned and apocryphal matters indicates his real strength, and he has cleared the way to these matters as a collector all by himself. For Marxism had but shown him the beginning. For such an endeavor, a passion was needed that bordered on mania. This passion has marked Fuchs's character. Whoever goes through the long line of patrons of the arts, of dealers, of admirers, of paintings, and experts in sculpture, in Daumier's lithographs, will be able to see exactly how this passion characterized Fuchs. All these characters resemble foxes down to his stature. They are tall and skinny figures whose eyes project fiery glances. Not without reasons has it been said that Daumier's conceived in these characters the descendants of those gold diggers, necromants and misers, which can be found in the paintings of old masters. Footnote 64. Text. As a collector, Fuchs belongs to their race. The alchemist connects his base desire for making gold with a complete examination of the chemicals in which planets and elements come together in images of spiritual man. Similarly, in satisfying the base desire of possession, Fuchs searches through an art in whose products the productive forces and the masses come together in images of historical men. Even in his late works, the passionate interest can be felt with which Fuchs turned toward these images. He writes, "It is not the least of the Chinese turrets, claims to fame that they are the product of an anonymous popular art." Page 253. There is no heroic book which gives testimony to their creators. Footnote 65. Text. Such a consideration is directed toward the anonymous artists and the objects which preserved the trace of their hands. Would this attitude not contribute more to the humanization of mankind than the leader cult, which, it seems, one is once again about to impose on mankind? Whether it is the case remains, as the past taught vainly in so many instances, always to be taught again by the future.